Let us pray. Jesus, I pray that you'll help us remember who you are and how you work for us and how you're with us every day of our lives. Amen. Please to be seated. So as you've been hearing about Exodus in the last few weeks and looking at Moses' story, I don't want to go into too much depth about the book because we've already had like a lot of introductions and bits where we hear about the context in which this was written. The story we hear today is when they cross the Red Sea, which is a very well-known story. It's in all of the kind of Moses movies and the plays and everywhere. It's like always there. It's one of the big stories in the Old Testament. And actually, all of this bit of Exodus is actually the heart of the Old Testament. So this is a story we've probably heard many times about and we've probably seen bits many times. And obviously, because this was written hundreds of years after the events happened, there's a lot of theories and a lot of discussion as to what actually happened and how was it. And I don't want to get into too much detail about the different theories, but I'm sure you've probably read or seen these documentaries years ago where there's kind of these scientists trying to figure out how it happened and saying it once every, I don't know, 1,000 years, the Red Sea goes down and people can walk across. So there's all these kind of different ways of trying to describe what happened. And I don't want to get into that really. I want to get into the story as it's written, because it's written this way, and this is what God revealed to us and what God wants us to know, because there's a lot of teaching in it. There's a lot that we can learn from it. There's a lot that just looking at the story speaks to us today. And I'm just going to go through a few little bits of the story. And it's quite interesting that it starts off by saying the Pharaoh was pursuing the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. So for the first time maybe in the whole of Exodus, we see a group of people who are marching out boldly. They've suddenly realized that God is on their side. He's done all these plagues. He's been able to get them out of Egypt. And now they're confident that they can go out and have God on their side and going behind them and kind of saving them. And this is verse 8. Then verse 10, we find they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die?" This is 2 verses later. They were bold 2 verses ago. Now they're saying, "Was it? Why are you bringing? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So we've got sort of these bold Israelites coming out, and then 2 verses later, they're completely panicking, saying, "We should have never left. They're going to kill us. We're going to die here in the desert. What are you doing, Moses? And basically, what are you doing, God, with our lives? How come you've taken us out to this terrible time in our lives?" And I think it speaks so much about how we are as well. One day we are super confident and super trusting in God, and the next day we are kind of suddenly panicking and saying, "God, where are you? Like, there's all these disasters happening. Do you really exist? Do you still love us?" But what I find fascinating about the story is that we have a God who's responding and who speaks to them. So first he speaks through Moses, and Moses says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." And then we find God speaking to them, and God says to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to move." And as they move, we find that then says that the angel of the Lord who was protecting them, who was in front of them and guiding them in their path, suddenly goes behind them to protect them from the Egyptians who were kind of getting closer to them. And then we hear this fascinating 2 verses where Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into the dry land. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the open on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. And there's a lot we can learn from this passage and from the story that's here in the Bible. And the first thing is the obvious bit is the crossing the Red Sea and the going from one land to the other. This is when they're actually leaving kind of Egyptian territory. So it's quite a significant time in their lives, because this is when they're leaving slavery and going into the promised land. This is when actually they're finally cutting all links with the Egyptians. Once they've crossed the Red Sea, then they're kind of in a completely different space. So it's a very kind of significant time in their lives. And one of the significant things is they're going through it with God fighting their battle, with God liberating, with God guiding them, but also providing for them. It's all about God with them. It's all about what God is doing with them. But what I'd like to focus on today is this dynamic which we have between God and his people in this passage. We have God speaking to them and they responding, and them speaking to God and God responding. And it's just a lovely relationship where they're talking to each other with God as their savior and they as a kind of weak people who need a God to work on their behalf. And it's just a lovely relationship. You can see that they cry out first because they're slaves and God hears them. And then they complain and God is quite patient. And then they're lost and he guides them. And then they need him to act on their behalf, and he acts on their behalf. So this story talks about a God who intervenes in our lives, talks about a God who speaks to us, talks about a God who guides us, talks about a God who protects us, talks about a God who acts supernaturally in our favor, who acts in the favor of his people. But that doesn't mean that he's a God that's going to do everything we want and as we want it. We can also see a group of people who is asking God to do some things, and he doesn't always do it the way they expect him to do. But he is a God who listens. He is a God who speaks. He is a God who guides. And he is a God who is on our side. He is a God who acts for us. He is a God who intervenes in our lives. And that's throughout the whole of the Bible. That's the story of the Bible. It's that relationship between God and his people. But he is a God who acts on behalf of his people. And I think we sometimes forget, and we sometimes have very kind of abstract views of these passages. But the heart of it is God telling his people, as I've done it in the past, I do today. And that's the whole of the message of the Bible. Remember that I've spoken to you. Remember that I've guided you. Remember that I've acted on your behalf. Remember that I'm with you. Remember that you can cry out and I'll be there for you. And the people also had a role to play. And they also had to do their bit. They had to cry out. They had to trust. They had to listen. And they had to obey. And it's not little things they were asked to obey in. Moses had to kind of start walking across a sea. It's not an easy thing to do, not an easy task to do. But they were called to do that bit as well. And that's the whole story of the Bible. It's this dynamic between God and his people, where he does his bit and we do our bit as well. And together we build his kingdom. And I want to just focus for a few minutes on the fact that God intervenes on our behalf. And a definition of a miracle is an event that we can't explain by natural and scientific laws, generally attributed to a supernatural being. And obviously throughout the Bible we see many miracles. And actually, if you think about it, every time God intervenes, that's a miracle, because it's something that's supernatural. Every time God speaks to us, then that's a miracle. Every time someone decides to follow Jesus or to become a Christian, that's a miracle, because that's God working in their lives. That's the Holy Spirit filling them. That's God giving them an understanding of who he is. So throughout the Bible, we see this all the time. And one of the things I find fascinating about Jesus' life is that he tried to encourage his disciples to live a life where they could see God at work. And that's not only with the kind of big things which we see in the New Testament with the healings and the miracles, but also with the little things. And I just am fascinated each time I see someone become a Christian. I just find it really, really fascinating that people nowadays, with the whole pressure they have around them and the whole worldview they have around them, they'll suddenly, still at any age, suddenly find God. And that's because God is acting in them. That's because we have a God who intervenes in the world. And just a reminder of what we read in the gospel passage is kind of the same thing. It's Jesus speaking to John's disciples, and he says, "Go back and tell John what's going on. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side." And I'd just like us to pause for a minute and think of this God who's done great things in the past, but is also inviting us to trust and to pray that he can continue doing those things today. And I just want to share a few short stories of what I've seen in the last few years. And one story, which is kind of quite a big story, is 2 years ago, a group of us go to New Wine, and someone from church invited their brother to come to New Wine with us. And he was colorblind. And when he went to one of the sessions, they prayed for him, didn't feel much. Next morning, he woke up, and he suddenly could see colors like we all see them. And he was just fascinated by the fact that he could now see colors in a completely different way. And just from one night to the other, he was healed from his color blindness. And that's someone, so if you come to our next service, you'll see Jim and Val. It's her son, or Hillary, who sings in the band. It's her brother. So it's someone we know, and he was camping with us, who was colorblind, and then God healed him. And I think in many ways, that's signs of God showing us how he loves us, that he wants to intervene in our lives in little things and big things. And again, don't get me wrong, I don't think God heals us every time. We know of all these lovely people who still have illnesses, and we pray and they don't get healed, and that's part of life. But I do think God, every now and then, gives us these little glimpses for us to remember that he is on our side, that he is there for us. Another thing which I found fascinating is this week I went to St. Prison, and I was part of a course that's called Sycamore Tree, which is restorative justice, where they invite the women to think about their life and the crimes they've committed and what's the effect that had on other people. And through that, they're able to suddenly realize the impact of what they've done and how much hurt they've produced. And through that, they're able to kind of change the way they think and understand, actually, what I've done is affecting all these people. I need to change. And this, it's just 6 sessions they do during a day, and I went to the last one. And then in the last one, they share the stories about how they felt and what happened. And those stories are just amazing, and it's just a glimpse of how God works in the lives of those people in prison, just to see how they've completely changed their view on who they are and what they can do, and just realize that through forgiveness, they can become new people. And you could hear these stories of women who've been really mistreated, and you can actually understand why they ended up in prison, because of all the violence they suffered. But actually them saying, this is my past, but this doesn't define me. This is not who I am, and this is not who I want to be. And them changing just that mindset. It's lovely, and it's lovely just to see how God works in their lives to change them, to be something, as people who are completely different because their identity has changed. And just a last story is, I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago when we showed testimonies of different people who have become Christians in the last year in the church. And one of the stories was of a person called John Wilmer. And he's a lovely guy. He goes to St. Giles. And I remember when he came to our Alpha, and he was kind of discovering what faith was all about. And he wasn't certain about it, but he was kind of interested to know more. And we prayed for him in one of the sessions, and it just seemed like a very normal prayer. He just sat there for a while afterwards and then left. So it didn't seem very supernatural or special in any way. We just kind of were praying for him. And then I heard when I was asking him the questions and seeing if he'd like to kind of share with everyone his story, and as we were filming his story, I realized what had actually happened. And he was sharing of how in that moment he just felt a supernatural peace and the presence of God that he had never felt before. And that gave him the strength then to become a Christian and to start following Jesus. And it's just that intervention of God in his life that made all of the difference, just to know that God was intervening. And he actually remembers the day when it happened. He's saying it was the 3rd of November, 2017 or 18, that happened in his life. And it's just marked him in such a special way to realize that God can intervene in his life. And I think we forget as Christians that the God who intervened in the past is a God who wants to intervene in our lives today. The God who's done great things in the past is the same God who wants to act in our life, and he wants to give us peace, and he wants us to feel his presence, and he wants us to know that he's with us, and he wants us to pray and trust that he can do other things through us as well. So my challenge for us today is to think and to believe that God wants to still intervene in our lives and still wants to intervene through us in other people's lives. And why not when we have a colleague, a friend, a family member who's going through something tough, just pray for them. They might feel a special presence of God. They might feel peace and might want to know more about who God is and what he does. Why not when we're going through difficult things, just trust in God that he will guide us through our difficult patches in our lives. And as the Israelites were going through a really tough time because they had an army behind them and the sea in front of them, how are we going to get out of this? But still, God was with them and God showed them a way. So I don't want us to kind of have a naive belief that God will do everything we want. But I do want us to trust that there is a God who intervenes and wants to continue intervening in our lives, who wants to work in and through us, and actually maybe sometimes take the courage to pray for these things and pray for other people and actually trust that he is doing something and that he can do something. And we might see or be surprised with some of the things, like praying for John Wilmer and Alpha and suddenly him really feeling God's presence. And maybe that can be one of our stories in the next few weeks. So I just want to encourage us that the story of them crossing the Red Sea is all about this relationship between God and his people and a God that acts in their favor. Let us pray. God, we want to live like if you were on our side. And we want to pray like if you're here. And we want to act like if you are with us. Because you are on our side. You hear our prayers. And you are with us. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us the faith, the courage, the boldness to pray, to ask you, pray for others, to expect you to be moving through us, amongst us. Lord, help us to pray with our friends and our colleagues and our family. And Lord, whenever we are in really tough times and we feel that we have an army behind us and a sea in front of us, just remind us that you are with us. Just remind us that you love us. Just remind us that we can trust in you. Amen.